Grace and mercy and peace be yours from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is the account of Jesus' visit with Mary and Martha in their home. You may be seated. Our sermon today begins with an important question. Is it Mary and Martha or Martha and Mary? Which name should come first? So often we confuse the two names, but it's important to know which name comes first. Is it Mary or Martha? But I want to begin with a story that you may have heard once before. It's kind of a parable. If you will imagine that you are invited to a special dinner at our home with my wife Nancy preparing the exquisite meal. Now, it needs to be clearly stated that at the outset that my wife and I have a pretty traditional relationship. That is, we each have certain jobs around the house, and when it comes to cooking, she does about 95% of it. The preparation for this exquisite meal begins on Wednesday when Nancy begins to think about the meal that she's going to serve. It will be Cornish game hens with wild rice and a broccoli soup from her mother's recipe, small, slender asparagus spears sautéed in brown sugar, a delicious-looking strawberry and spinach salad. To top it all off, a slice of cheesecake that's not bought at Costco. All of these delicacies are to be purchased on Friday, the day before the sumptuous meal, so all the ingredients will be fresh. Saturday morning arrives and it's filled with busy work. The house is immaculately cleaned upstairs and downstairs. No one's going to go downstairs, mind you, but it too will be immaculately clean. In the meantime, I'm outside working on the flower beds in the backyard, cutting the lawn. The garden is finally weedless and looking spectacular. Then early Saturday afternoon, Nancy dresses the table itself. She finds the right table linens, the napkins, the silver, the goblets, the centerpiece. She cuts the flowers and delights in making flower arrangements. And late in the afternoon, she prepares herself, bathing, selecting what to wear, curling her hair in front of the mirror. Now it's 6:45 and we begin the last minute details. I pour the water into the glasses, select the music for the evening, and I find the wine opener. It's 7 o'clock and right on time you arrive and press the doorbell. Nancy and I greet you with the grace and calmness, pretending that we always look this way, pretending that our home always looks perfect, pretending that our garden is always immaculate, and you, the guests, are pretending too, pretending that you did not have a fight on the way over to our home and that you always get along perfectly well with each other. You, the guests, examine our garden and then return to the living room and begin nibbling on the hors d'oeuvres that have been prepared for you. And this is where it starts getting a little tense. You begin telling your favorite jokes while nibbling hors d'oeuvres in the living room, and I'm laughing a little too loudly at your jokes. And my wife is in the kitchen straining to hear what's being said. And she's working feverishly to finish the meal. And we're laughing in the living room and she's working in the kitchen. And there's an invisible kind of tension mounting between my wife and myself. She doesn't like doing all the work while we are having all the pleasure of enjoying each other's company in the living room. Now you might recognize this little somewhat fictional incident from our home is parallel to the gospel story for today of Mary and Martha. So often Jesus takes incidents from life and converts them into parables. He takes everyday circumstances and transforms them into moments for spiritual truth. He doesn't quote the philosophers of the day or the quotable quotes of the famous Jewish rabbis of his era. Rather, Jesus always finds spiritual truth in the everyday moments of life, such as the gospel story for today. Is the sequence Mary and Martha, or Martha and Mary? You need to know the answer to this riddle. Mary, Martha, their brother, and Lazarus were good friends of Jesus. Jesus visited their home in Bethany often. The little village of Bethany was located about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and according to the Gospel of John, Jesus visited their home at least 6 times. We know that Martha owned the home, and so we assume that she was the older sister. We know that Jesus dearly loved Lazarus. Such deep relationships don't occur in a moment, and that reveals that Jesus had spent much time with their family. And we also know that Jesus had become the most famous rabbi in the land. He had become enormously popular and well-known, and we know that Jesus, the famous rabbi, was coming to the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus for dinner. And Martha, the oldest, was going to plan and prepare the dinner for Jesus. Now, you can't serve a famous rabbi hot dogs. You can't serve the most renowned rabbi of the land bologna sandwiches. Jesus is coming to dinner, and you've got to make the meal special. So we can imagine Martha going to the market the day before in order to get some of the freshest food available. She may have found some fresh fish that had been brought in from the Jordan River, and dates and pomegranates and figs and raisins and nuts, and the finest wine that she could find. What a shopping spree that was. And the next morning, Martha was in a flurry of activity, busy cleaning the house and the yard before she began to prepare the feast for Jesus, the famous rabbi, coming to her house. How excited they were. She set the table with her finest, bringing out her brass menorah, the 7-branched candlestick, to make a candlelight dinner. Her favorite pottery was there. And it was time for the arrival of Jesus, and he knocked on the door, and everyone was so excited to see him. They laughed and chatted, and Jesus noticed how clean and prepared the house was, and Martha was pleased. Jesus sat down on a pillow in the front room and started to teach. Being a rabbi and all, he started to talk about God and about love and prayer, perhaps. And soon Martha was out in the kitchen, so busy, so focused on her last-minute preparations, and she was irritated that she couldn't hear the conversation between Jesus and her younger sister in the living room. And the more she worked, the more frustrated she got with her sister sitting there in the living room, cheerfully listening to Jesus. So Martha began sending some signals to her sister, banging the pots and pans together so the noise would bring her sister into the kitchen. But that didn't work. So Martha walked into the living room to serve the hors d'oeuvres and the wine, the cheese and the crackers. And as she walked by Mary, she gave Mary the eyeball roll, you know, rolling her eyeballs in the direction of the kitchen. Mary wasn't looking. Soon from the kitchen, Martha returned to the living room to pick up the leftovers from the hors d'oeuvres and gave her sister another signal, this one a head motion, indicating the direction of the kitchen. But Mary again did not respond. Still, she was focused on Jesus and his words. So Martha finally stood in the kitchen door, and her anger couldn't be contained any longer. "Jesus, would you tell Mary to come into the kitchen and help me with all this work?" She's taking advantage of her being the youngest again, so as to get out of doing the work. Would you tell her to come to the kitchen and finish the work for this meal? Well, Jesus spoke to Martha calmly. Martha, Martha, don't be so upset. You are busy and distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better portion, listening to me, and this will not be taken away from her. Martha put her hands on her hips and said, "Humph!" Stomped back into the kitchen to finish the meal. And that's the end of the story of the parable. The story was told over and over again in the early church because it was so down to earth, so ordinary, so common, and is the way that Jesus' parables always are. Down to earth, ordinary, common incidents from life that could illustrate spiritual truths about the kingdom of God and the growth of the kingdom. Is it Mary or Martha and Mary? You need to know the meaning of this riddle. What's the meaning of this story? Martha has become a symbol of action-oriented people, responsible people, men and women who get the job done. And the world needs men and women and boys and girls who get the job done. It's certainly true in the church. How would the church ever survive if not for the Marthas and Marvins who cut the grass and run the altar guild or write the checks or prepare the fellowship meals and build the church? The church could not exist without Marthas and Marvins, the men and women who are responsible and do all of the work. The same is true with the family. We need responsible people to do the work of the house, to cook and to clean and to keep the house operating, to pay the bills, to keep the car running, not to speak of raising children and loving their spouse. Households can't survive without Marthas and Marvins, nor can offices or schools, nor businesses. So what's wrong with being a Martha or a Marvin? A responsible, get-it-done kind of person? Well, nothing. There's nothing wrong with being a responsible, action-oriented, get-it-done kind of person. Jesus did not fault Martha for being responsible. Martha's fault was that she was too busy to listen, too distracted to sit at Jesus' feet and absorb his presence. Too busy living life to quietly hear what Jesus had to say. Too involved with all her activities and actions that she did not have time first to listen to the voice of Christ. And so Jesus taught in an unforgettable way that listening precedes action. That we listen first and then we do or act. The answer to the riddle is Mary first and Martha second. It's always in that order. That's true in both human love and Christian discipleship. Listening first, but always followed by action. Listening and then doing. Jesus said clearly, be hearers and doers of the word. He never reversed that order. He never said, be doers and hearers of the word. From the lips of Jesus, it's always hearers and then doers of the word of God. And this sequence is true for both human love and Christian discipleship. So Martha has become a symbol of the modern world. More than that, in fact, Martha has become a symbol of you and me when we have become so active and busy with living life that we no longer have time to slowly and quietly listen to God or even our spouse, or our kids, or our friends. In fact, this is a subtle trick that we become so active in doing good things that our activities become a cover-up for our lack of listening and quiet caring. Martha has become a symbol of a person who is far too busy and has lost the art of listening. Let me give you couple of examples. If you ever come home from a day of work and your kids are talking with you at the kitchen table and they're saying blah, 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 and you're looking affirmatively at their words and their thoughts, you're nodding, but you haven't heard a word that they've said. Yeah, I think maybe that's happened. Or have you ever come home from a day of work and your spouse wants to share with you what happened during the day? And he or she goes, blah, 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 blah. And you don't hear a word or thought that was spoken because you are preoccupied with what happened during your day. Yeah, I think that's probably happened too. Or have you ever been introduced to someone and your mind is racing so fast about everything that you don't really hear their name at all, and so you have to ask their name again, and you hear their name like you'd never heard it before. You totally did not hear the name the first time. You ever had that experience? Well, I think so. I've had it too. Many of us in our intense business of life have lost the art of listening. The story for today suggests that the first prerequisite for human love and Christian discipleship is listening. Human love begins with listening. And Christian discipleship begins with listening. The primary foundation of human love is listening. And the primary foundation of Christian discipleship is listening. Listening is the pipeline through which human love and divine love flows. What is listening? Listening is focusing on the other. It's centering on the other person, concentrating on the person before me, giving them my undivided attention. Listening is a gift of self to the other person. I'll illustrate that by taking this pair of binoculars here and focusing on the face of Ed out there in the congregation. Hi, Ed. Nice smile. Nice tie you got there. Okay, when I look through this binoculars, only Ed's face is my point of vision. Nothing in front of him or beside him or behind him. Right now, I can only see the face of Ed. That's how it is with listening. Listening is an art that's learned and slowly developed, where you actually focus on the person before you. Not the history of everything that has happened earlier in the day or before that. Not on the future and all the activities that will occur later in the day or the week. Not on the side about everything that is occurring right now at this moment. Listening focuses on that one person, not on the past, not on the future, not on all the stuff that's going on right now. Listening is a gift. It's an art. And it's a learned behavior that has to be practiced. And listening is the first face of love. The more one listens, the more love grows. The less one listens, the less love there is. Listening is the conduit, the pipeline through which love flows and grows. That's certainly true in a marriage. Any good marriage will find a man and a woman have discovered what it means to really listen to one another. It's also true in good families. It's true in good business. It's always Mary first and Martha second. It's always listening first and then doing. That's just the way life works. But the gospel story for today is not primarily concerned about listening to one's spouse or family or friends or work. Mary and Martha's story is not primarily concerned about human love, as important as that is. The Mary and Martha story is primarily concerned about Christian discipleship and listening to the voice of Jesus. And to focus, to center, to concentrate on Christ and his words. By analogy, I could take these same binoculars and turn around and turn my focus to the crucifix over there. And that's the only thing I see. Nothing, it blots out anything behind or before or beside the crucifix. And now I'm focused directly on Jesus. And that's vital to Christian discipleship, listening to Jesus, to blot out all of my past busyness and all the clutter of my mind from yesterday, to blot out all my future busyness and the clutter of the activities that I'm going to do this afternoon or tonight, to blot out the current distractions of what's going on at the moment. Like Martha, we all get so busy and distracted with living life, so totally preoccupied with living life, that we've lost the art of listening. So you know this is true in your life, and I know it's true in my life too. It's an art to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ in a sermon such as right now. It's an art to listen to the voice of Christ in our prayers when our minds are tempted to run so fast and far away. It's an art to listen to the voice of Christ as we're absorbed in reading the Bible when our minds are tempted to think about other things. Listening is a gift of oneself to the other, a centering, concentrating of oneself on the other, on Jesus Christ. And listening to his voice, Mary knew how to listen to Jesus, and we're encouraged to do the same. So Jesus was coming to dinner at Mary and Martha's house. The most famous rabbi in the land was coming to sit at their table. And even though he was the most famous rabbi in the land, he was their dearest friend. And instantly Martha's mind went to work, and she was soon busy planning the menu, busy cleaning the house, busy weeding the garden, so distracted and pleased that she was living life to the fullest. The meal was ready, and Jesus knocked on the door, and she knew he would be impressed with the meal, impressed with the cleanliness of the house, impressed with the immaculate condition of her gardens. And so they sat down to dinner, and Mary remained at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, focusing on him, concentrating on his words and his spirit. Jesus was most pleased with Mary's attitudes, and he commended her for it. First Mary, then Martha. May it always be that way for us too. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.